Chapter 13. Hunker Down, Bug In. The next morning, Katami woke up earlier than usual. As he got ready for the day, he decided to wait about an hour before Misaki woke up. While doing that, he decided to polish his armor, so much so that he would want to blind whomever was going to invade. Katami had a sneaking suspicion that some sort of invasion would occur, and that he would be the target the Sons of Mahshila and the Neo-Algerian leadership were looking for. Just in case this was the case, he polished his armor and put it on just as Misaki was waking up. He had an inkling this would be happening anyway, so he decided to plan for it in his head. After putting his armor on, Katami walked out to the kitchen, and there was Misaki brewing the morning tea, as per the usual. She turned around, and behold, Katami was in the armor. Thankfully, she was not blinded by the light reflecting off of it, as it was not even bright enough for this to happen. She purred approvingly, knowing what Katami was wanting to do. As the two drank their tea, however, she decided to just cuddle up to him. She knew that Katami would be harshly protecting the property, seeing to it that nobody would harm him, Misagi or Katsukun. After they finished their tea, Katami was about to wash it, but a comforting hand was placed on his shoulder. He turned around and Misagi told him,
"Just do what you need to do. I shall take care of everything."
"Misagi, there is no need to," Katami gently told her. "I understand your desire, though the invasion I think shall happen would not be this early in the morning."
Katami just washed his cup, left it on the dish rack, and walked out to tend to his garden. He felt he had plenty of time to do something about this sort of thing, considering too that he felt the need to defend against what could be a horde of something he didn't know of yet. His adaptation would certainly be something to behold, if utilized correctly. As he grabbed his greatsword after finishing the morning gardening session, Katami just stood out to scope a plan on how to best do this. However, as he turned around, he saw that he was not alone. Katsukun looked to have the same idea. He walked to Katami and asked him, "Did you have the same idea?"
"I did, yay."
Katami looked at Katsukun, asking him,
"Did Methuselah tell you to do this?"
"I believe so, yes." Katsukun was confident in his answer, as he always wanted to be in combat side by side with Katami. "We both believe something odd is happening, knowing that the Neo-Altiarian leadership is after us still."
"Yay, for the bishops of Wesnith know that I had just killed two of their minions who looked convincing."
Katami regaled to Katsukun.
"To keep things brief, they were fakes, clones, if you shall, of the bishops. Their whole goal was to spy on all three of us, so that way we would be killed off by these heretics."
"Their entire shtick is to see us gone for not taking the mark of destruction anymore." Katsukun knew what Katami was speaking of.
"I am formerly someone who took the mark, though I had no clue at the time. When I found out, I got out of that system before I doomed myself." "I almost took the mark myself, so I understand what had been going through your mind as of late."
Katami knew the struggle of getting to grips with Neo-Algerianism being the beast system, talked about in the apocalyptic texts, which were written by Yokia just as the fulfillment of the apocalyptic prophecies were beginning.
However, this did not happen as I escaped that ceremony at 16.
"That was why you were steadfast on what you had done since." Katsukun sighed and switched the subject. "Alas, what side should we take in our pursuit?"
"Maybe I should take the front and you take the back to start with."
Katsumi then inquired,
"Did you do this a lot while I was tending to my gardens?"
"Every day I decided to do this." Katsukun was straightforward with his response. "After all, we would certainly want a guardian who kept a watch after what went down some time back."
"That I cannot blame you for."
Katami understood what Katsukun was talking about.
"To be fair on this matter, the reason why I asked was because I was about to start doing it myself, and doing only certain areas while I assume you took the rest."
"That was my goal, exactly as you said." Katsukun must have been doing this for a little while now.
There's no point in doing every area when you have someone doing half the work. Katami nodded and positioned himself near his shelter. As he sat there, eyes of a hawk looking over the horizon, Katsukun started to walk around the perimeter of the area. As the day went on, some people would come to the place, unarmed and friendly, and ask either Katami or Katsukun why they were in armor protecting their own home. Either of the two would explain what was happening, in that they were preparing for what could have ended up being an invasion from Wesneth, considering the fact that Wesneth now wanted Katami dead. If both Katsukun and Misaki went with Katami as well, that would be better for the religious leadership. One particular individual, a young fox girl who wore a white robe, walked up to Katami. She asked him questions he was easily able to answer himself. As she asked the questions, however, Katami paid attention to her wording. It sounded unnatural, forced, and somewhat scared. Katami just turned around and whistled for Katsukun to come over. Katsukun obliged to take a look at what was happening. He saw the lady in white robes, and his eyes became bloodshot. He tackled the young fox maiden to the ground and restrained her. Katsukun looked up at Katami and told him, "Look out of the horizon for Mar. I shall keep her restrained and ask her what she was doing." Katami nodded and did so. He walked a bit further than Katsukun, though still hearing distance from him. Great sword in hand, Katami was about to potentially get himself in a fight. When he saw a caravan, immeasurable in numbers, Katami turned and yelled to Katsukun, "We have large company, Katsukun!" Katsukun looked over the horizon, and holy cow did he see a caravan of Neo-Altierians coming towards them. "The abomination of ruin has come!" Katami walked towards the front of the caravan, greatsword in hand, ready to strike if necessary. As the two parties arrived, one of the leaders of this group stopped the caravan and walked up to Katami. Katami, meanwhile, simply said to him, "Thou shalt not remain in Armra any longer. Thine journey is but a wanton effort to kill thy prophet, of whom was sent to thee by the power of the Creator, the Son, and the Spirit, of whom was vested within me, mine house, and mine family thereof. Cut the deceit." The leader was not impressed with what Katsumi had said. He knew it was true, and he attempted to deny it. "We need you to come with us, peacefully, to settle a court case that has you summoned to Wesneth. Thou shalt not take my family out of Armra in order to head to Didakai for an intimidation and sacrificial ritual, in which I shalt be the one you shall kill." Katami was not impressed with the leader's proposition, as this looked to be a coercion tactic that did not work on prophets like Katami. "If ye shall do these things, have someone die on my behalf, that is not my immediate family or extended family. We would need a member of your family to make into a child of the Creator in order for you to join the Bachenbach, as we attempted to recruit you without such necessary rite of passage." The leader was lying, as Katami knew the real reason to do this. "You mean to coerce me into joining the sons of Machshila because I had no intention of revering and obeying the bishops of Wesneth? For if I were to join the group, would I not be taking the mark of destruction, dooming myself to the lava pool and burning to a crisp, never to be seen again?" Katami was not having it, as he was annoyed now. "We are different from Neo-Altierians, as we attempt to preserve classic Altierianism to the best of our ability." This was desperation from this Neo-Altierian leader, as Katami knew this would be happening for a minute. Katami grabbed the leader's throat and squeezed it tightly so he could still breathe properly. "Nay, ye are still the self-same Neo-Altierians thou hath claims to be against. I know thy deceits, harassment, theft, murders, and other works thereof. Ye are of the fourth beast kingdom, the Wesnotian beast kingdom, of which was in your set-apart text, if that had not been removed already." "We do not have that prophecy in our texts." The leader was flat about it, knowing that lying would potentially get him killed by Katami, therefore setting the abomination of ruin into motion. "So the leaders of Wesneth changed the texts to fit their decrees, exactly as Ahat warned, to which the bishops of Wesneth would change the times, the months, and the seasons.
Katami knew that prophecy all too well, as he witnessed the change of text in real time. We had to remove errors that were found by the original authors of the common language texts, exactly as they told us. More lying from the leader ensued, just like Katami suspected. No, you didst not have a need to alter the word, for thou doth know additions or subtractions thereof, else ye alter what the authors intendeth on saying. Katami looked into the leader's eyes and squeezed his throat tighter. Since ye are not contrite in thine heart to do something about this, I am afraid I must ask for thine eternal silence on this matter. He just cracked the neck of the leader and left him in a heap. He looked far and wide, and with a loud, booming voice, he declared, "All of thine leaders are wanton sinners, and they shalt not be contrite enough to repent for their own actions. Thou shalt turn around and come back whence ye came. For if ye do not, the Creator, Methuselah, and the Spirit shall turn thee into building materials the armor mountains could use." Surprisingly, the Neo-Algerian caravan obeyed Katami's order and started their long journey back. They witnessed Katami ask for this leader's silence, knowing that the same would happen to them if any one of them had spoken up. If they were defying a prophet's words, much less a silent prophet, or even the shunned silent prophet Katami was, that spelled doom for them. One part of the caravan, however, decided to stay. It was a young woman who came up to Katami. She asked him, "Do you have my sister at your place?" "I have no clue," Katami sighed before continuing. "There is someone there who I had restrained under suspicion she had a weapon on her to be killed." He turned to Katsukun and asked him, "Is she still alive, brother?"
"Yay, indeed, I kept her alive."
Katsukun had this woman who came to the shelters earlier unrestrained. She was looking for a new home, armed with just a dagger, should she need to defend herself. Katami turned to the young woman standing in front of him, asking, "Did your sister have a dagger on her, last you knew, when she made this journey?"
"Yay, indeed, she had it on her."
She looked at Katami, telling him, "We are refugees from Umuradorf, of which was just surrounded by Eltrotian armies recently. We had heard that a prophet was living here at Armra, so we escaped, though we were tailed by the Neo-Algerian beings." She hugged Katami before continuing with, "I am glad you killed that evil man. He had no right to be in the position he was."
"To be completely frank with you, I am the shunned silent prophet the texts should have talked about," Katami revealed to this woman. "Most people do not know that I am the same prophet that fit all the criteria."
"Shun silent?"
The young maiden pulled herself back and asked him, "Can you prove you are the shun silent in the set-apart texts?"
"I can. Come, let me show you the true texts of which I was able to preserve myself."
Katami led the woman to his shelter. He had her wait at the front of the door while he grabbed his set-apart texts. He brought them out and showed her where the shunned silent prophet's qualifications were. As she read them, the young woman's face turned grim. This was the same with her sisters, as she realized she was spending time with the brother of the shunned silent's wife. After Katami read the qualifications for a shunned silent prophet and explained them to her, it all made sense. She asked Katami, "Would it be possible to teach us the entirety of the texts? Clearly, you must be the prophet the Neo-Algerians want to murder."
"I am their target, because I am the shunned silent who shall destroy everyone who dares to face me."
Katami knew what text this came from, as he just read it.
"For there comes a time I shall slay everyone of whom Arturiad decides to send against me. This is not the start of the final calling, but only starts the lead up to the final calling, where everyone in Westnith dies a horrible death. Everyone else in Armra and the surrounding areas outside Westnith shall be safe."
"How long does that last?"
The woman was interested in knowing.
3.5 years, Katami said flatly. "If anything, it recently started when we saw an army circle Westnith and decided to leave, of which Methuselah confirmed for me."
Do you have direct access to speak with him?
This woman was now engaged, since she was wanting to learn everything. Her sister's ears perked up at Katsumi's teaching too, though Katsumi had no idea about this.
Indeed, I spoke with Methuselah and a fake in which I had killed.
Katsumi looked into the woman's eyes and told her,
this was the same with Yokiya, who is still alive and well.
Is he the Viking-style being I spoke with?
She had no idea this was Yokiya.
I knew there was a Viking who claimed to have written some books in the set of our texts.
You seem to notice well.
Katsumi sat down and regaled to her. He became a human Viking in order not to be persecuted and murdered for writing books contradictory to the White Bishop's commands. These commands were to not write historical texts implicating the White Bishop of Westneth as the anti-Messiah. Yokiya did just that, and turned himself human without fox features to blend in, and so he could escape said persecution.
No wonder he told the truth.
This woman was starting to realize all along she had been duped.
I must have taken the mark of destruction unknowingly.
The Creator shall not judge you for that, as long as you turn from your old ways and embrace Methuselah's teachings.
Katsumi was finally happy for the woman, as he seemingly converted her outside of the Neo-Algerian religion.
Are there more that could use someone like me, the shunned silent prophet?
I know of hundreds who could use your guidance, maybe thousands. The woman had no clue how many exactly wanted Katsumi's guidance.
When they watched you leave Westneth on a whim, this inspired them to find ways to quietly leave the Neo-Algerian groups, the Bachenbach, Tormax, SOM, etc.
She must have known what was happening, considering that Katsumi had no clue how or why many people wanted Katsumi's teachings. Was the whole point of the Shun Silent Prophet to not be able to teach massive amounts of people, lest he be killed? Was there something he missed in the texts?
Katsumi had no idea how many people wanted his teachings. He asked the woman, did any of them want my guidance so they could sacrifice me for heresy?
He was concerned this would happen to him, point blank.
I do not believe so. They realized, like me this day, that they took the mark. They wanted out of the system and into a system you taught since 16.
The woman somehow knew Katsumi was like this since he was 16 years of age. He was 5 and 20 years old at this point, and seeing this woman realizing the true scope of the world and how it worked between fox folk gave Katsumi hope that maybe Methuselah was giving him people to teach. If this was Methuselah's people, Katsumi would immediately know if that was the case by the way they conducted themselves, let alone embraced his teachings and applied them to their very lives. This looked to be a generational curse breaking, and Katsumi was cautiously excited about it.
I would not mind if this was tested.
Katsumi looked at the woman, smile on his face, before telling her,
please, get 10 of the best suited, contrite, and remorseful people, and I can teach them the fundamentals of historical eschatology. I can do this on a lunar day of rest, since we used that calendar until 700, 6, and 50 years ago.
Just as you would, on not any other day.
This woman had to have been in some sort of dream. Was this real or was it something else entirely that became reality under what Katsumi was saying? More questions seemed to be rolling through her head than answers. And for this case, it was perfectly fine. That said, this woman knew she needed to attend this meeting with Katsumi and others whom she would choose that were qualified. They needed to be able to listen, apply, and ultimately embrace Katsumi's teaching, just as he said he would be able to do very, very easily. This was Katsumi's chance to finally do it.
Exactly correct.
Katsumi sat up and continued.
It would only be fair if I taught on a lunar day of rest, because if I did on any other day, it would not make sense for me to do.
Do we not have a festival coming up next month?
The woman thought there was something coming up. Katsumi checked his calendar, which he had on hand, and there was indeed a festival coming up, a spring festival at that.
Ah, yea, you are correct.
He looked the young woman in the eyes and told her,
That is the Feast of Flatbread, of which is from the 15th of the month to the 22nd.
I was meaning to do that festival, but was unable to, because I had no teacher like you.
The woman was excited to finally do what she was meant to do.
I wish there were more like me, who were just as excited for your teachings as I am.
I keep praying that this happens every night, because I genuinely want to teach, even if it means I do this inside my own home.
Katsumi sighed, relieved that Wesneth cannot destroy him anymore as he originally thought.
I am happy that this opportunity is coming to me, knowing that I have every desire to be someone who could teach these people lessons they could apply to their own lives.
Katsumi was satisfied with the result, and no sword swing was needed. All it took for him was a neck crack to a corrupt leader who would not repent for his actions. Nothing more, nothing less. This was going to be a good time for foxfolk who needed Katsumi and other similar teachers teaching now more than ever. Maybe Katsumi did not mind if other historical eschatologists had been involved, and he knew a few of those teachers here in Armora, so it made sense that he set something up for Flatbread